anywhere you may go. Make each day be a day full of fun. If there's a game or a girl to be won, do it with a bing bang bong.
A bing bang bong.
A bing bang bong. Presto, presto, do your very best. Don't hang back like a shy little kid. You'll be so glad that you did what you did if you do it with a bing bang bong.
A bing bang bong.
A bing bang. Columbo, take a chance, don't be a dopey or a dumbo, go around in a trance. One step, two step, step into a new step, live your life with a zip and a zing. You'll have the world on the end of a string if you do it with a bing bang bong.
A bing bang bong.
A bing bang bong. Anywhere you may go, make each day be a day full of fun. If there's a game or a girl to be won, do it with a bing bang bong.
A bing bang bong.
A bing bang bong. Be like Christopher Columbo. Take a chance, don't be a dopey or a dumbo. Go around in a trance. One step, two step, step into a new step. Live your life with a zip and a zing. You'll have the world on the end of a string if you do it with a bing bang bong. A bing bang bong. A bing bang bong.
Hello everybody, how are you? This is Shantanu or Tony starting up a new episode of the podcast today on the 26th of February 2013. I started off with a very old song, Bing Bang Bong, sung by Sophia Loren. I think it was from the 1950s. I'm not 100% sure. And it was from a movie. Also, I don't remember which movie, maybe Houseboat or something. Now, today's subject is a talk with Kavita Kuruganti of India about the issue of GM crop. And this is extremely important for India, for the world, for sustainability. And issues are coming to a head. It's coming to a crunch time. And next month is going to be a make or break issue for a lot of people, a lot of industries. And there is a Supreme Court verdict awaiting. So, I called up Kavita while I was in Vancouver and she was in India. She has just finished a long march along with partners and friends through the heartland of India, educating the farmers about chemical-free organic farming and also trying to connect them with the consumers nearby in the nearby townships to try to help the organic farmers by supporting locally produced food, etc. So anyway, here is the talk with Kavita.
Hello.
Hello, Kavita. This is Tony again from Vancouver. Is it still too early?
No. Let's talk. Yeah.
Okay. How thanks for giving me the time. How much time do we have today?
About
20-30 minutes. Very good. I wanted to ask you about your activity with regard to this Kisan Swaraj, but in the meantime, something else has come up, which is I've been invited for a talk on Thursday, day after tomorrow, after a film show in Langley, which is a town near Vancouver, about GM crop issue with regard to India. And for that, I needed some direct information, if you can help me, and it has some link with your recent yatra. The name of the movie they are showing is called One Man, One Cow, One Planet. You might have heard of it?
Yes.
It is by a elderly New Zealander farmer who has reportedly parked himself in India by the name of Peter Proctor.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard about the film, yes.
Okay, so a couple of things. This gentleman is promoting a method called biodynamics, which is basically, I think, organic. And he made two claims in the movie, which is something I would like to first of all ask you about. It probably will come up when they ask me to talk about it. The audience is all Canadian. The movie is all India. And this gentleman claims two things. One is India is the richest nation on earth. He says it in the movie. And by that he means not by money or gold or automobiles, but by the wealth of its biomass. Mm-hmm. And then he is afraid that unless it can be preserved and the chemical agro industry can be kept away and the farming can be kept in the hands of the small farmers in the way it has traditionally been, India is going to lose this wealth, and it is going to be catastrophic for the rest of the world. That is the first point. The second he says is about the fight against GM crop. India is turning out to be, in his opinion, the main battleground in the entire planet, and on the outcome of this battle, literally, hinges the future of the food security of the planet. So these two are very strong statements, and it surprised me when I heard it, and I would like your feedback on that.
Slightly hyperbolic, but I think he is quite correct in saying what he's saying, though it's in hyperbolic language. The fact that, for major staples like rice and for specifically pulses like pigeon pea, which is tur dal, and for oil seeds like mustard, the fact remains that India is a mega biodiversity hotspot. Some of the best diversity in the world, generally related to biodiversity as well as agrodiversity, does remain here. We are the center of origin or diversity or both for several crops. And the fact remains that, industrial agriculture, intensive agriculture, which is epitomized in the context of GM seeds, will have the power of, wiping out all of this from rural India. And we've already seen this in the case of BT cotton, for instance, where there was a diversity of varieties that used to exist. Today, we are no longer talking about even monocrops. The fact that two crops take significance over many other crops that used to exist for humankind at one point of time. The fact that varieties within crops have come down to, let's say in rice, just about 8 to 12 varieties, where this country boasted 150,000 different lines of rice. Today we reached a stage where it is monoculture of genes, and that certainly is disastrous. And there's no underrating of India's significance in terms of the diversity that we hold. There's no discounting of the fact that GM crops, given the certain kind of market push that comes with it, given the kind of corporations that are pushing them and their monopolistic powers, the fact that rural landscape will change drastically is not an exaggeration.
Okay, now I'm going to give a break and insert a song. This is an old habit of mine. If there's too much of tact, try to break it with the music. The first one was by an English old one from Sophia Loren. This one is a folk music from an Ohomia folk music from the province of Assam, northeastern India. The singer is Dipali Bar Thakur. I hope you like it.
About India being one of the biggest battlegrounds, I would say once again, he is correct. You know, in fact, the other locations where this would have mattered in terms of farm livelihoods as much as in India, they have given in too easily. Brazil, for instance, the fact that it's gone in for GM in a big way just to secure export markets has been quite a disaster, so to speak, for their own rural socio-economic situation as well as for their you know, environmental health and so on. But India holding out against the entry of GM crops would mean that several other countries will also take a more cautious approach. In fact, all of South Asia, Southeast Asia will get influenced by what India will do on this. So it is a big battleground, and it looks like both China and India are watching out for cues from each other. Both have gone in only for BT cotton so far. China has been bold enough to actually shun the notion of GM soybean. GM soya is the largest grown GM crop around the world. And the requirement, the demand for soya is the highest in China, as you know. But they have refrained from taking the GM option when it comes to soybean because they are the center of origin and diversity for soya.
So do you mean they are not importing U.S. Soya or what?
they are importing, is what I'm saying. Just like India is, we are importing refined soy oil from US, Brazil, Argentina, and other places in India for our oil requirements.
Oh, I see. But they are not importing it to eat, or they are not importing it to plant it?
Both are importing to eat, and both don't have any planting of GM soya.
Oh.
I'm specifically invoking the example of China, because there it's a clear policy decision, whereas here there's a fight that's happening against our meddling and tinkering with rice, for instance. But I'm basically saying that both China and India will be major battlegrounds. The Chinese emphasis on public sector has been far higher than the Indian emphasis. I mean, starting from the 80s, India has, in fact, systematically decimated its public sector research on the seed front by giving so much a space for private players to take over the seed sector. In a sense, India therefore is a big battleground. What we do here will influence decisions elsewhere, and what will happen here will change things dramatically. For the Indian countryside, there'll be sweeping changes. There's no doubt about it.
And just to clarify my mind again, the policy decision taken by China, as you say, is not to plant any GM food. Is that correct?
Yes. They have not opted for it, though the industry PR says that BT rice got approved in China and so on. That's not the truth. China actually has a draft grain policy that is expressing caution against GM food crops. And there was indeed an instance of GM rice seed leaking out of some trials and contaminating some consignments in the food chain, but they seem to have cleaned it up now. They faced export market rejection for a couple of years, but China is expressly moving very, very cautiously on the GM front. And India seems to be showing greater, Indian government at least, greater, aggression around wanting to promote GMO.
And that brings us to the end of the first part of our talks with Kavita Kuruganti. The second portion of my question will be answered in the next part. And I end this episode with another song, this time a cowboy yodeling song. I mean, those of us from India, we always remember a great yodeling singer of the yesteryears, Kishore Kumar. But yodeling was more popular in the Western music of the past. And here is a country and Western with yodeling, sung live on stage by Wanda Jackson. And with that, this episode will end. We see you guys in the next part then.
Okay, let's do a song for the cowboys. There's a cowboy that I know riding in the rodeo. He's a feller that I'm fondest of. I love him and he loves me, and that's the way it ought to be. But he drives me crazy when we're making love, 'cause he always starts to yodel. Then like Tarzan, he let out a great big yell. Ah! And he started into yodel. Hallelujah. And my handsome cowboy wore a buckskin suit. When the parson said, "Will you promise always to be true?" My lover smiled and gently cleared his throat. And he started to yodel.
A big hand for Wanda Jackson!